around, and you know, I'm ready. I got my I got the shotgun loaded for whatever boy's coming by to first aid her, you know.
Well, that'll be an exciting time for you. I remember when mine's had the first dates, and anyway, you got to get their attention, and you'll do that. So everything will work out just fine.
Well, Coach, you live on a ranch. How far is it from where you park to your front door? Is it a walk?
Yeah, I've got 700-800 acres on my ranch, but I park right here at the house.
I could just imagine that face walking up there to meet national champion coach, knowing you have that long walk right there. We should play Kalijah for that person walking through. That would be.
Well, they would enjoy it, I'll assure you. And then we celebrated Easter and Christmas at the same time because of the virus was going on pretty strong during Christmas time. And we had, I guess, 19 and 20, 21 here for a couple of days, and all the children, grandchildren, most of them are all here, and we thoroughly enjoyed that.
Well, Coach, talking a little football, Mac Jones quickly jumped down to the scenes as one of the best Alabama quarterbacks last year. It was an offensive spectacle. Devontae Smith wins the Heisman Trophy. Mac Jones finishes second, or actually finished third, but could have won it himself. And now he gets ready, and his pro days have looked great. You've seen a lot of good Alabama quarterbacks. You've had a chance to coach guys like Palmer. When it comes down to the next great quarterback at Alabama, do you feel that Mac Jones can be that at the NFL level?
Well, according on who he's throwing it to, if he throws those Alabama receivers, he'll be an outstanding pro player, but you know, it takes two, and then somebody's got to protect him. He can't be running for his life. So if he has a good offensive line, good wide receivers, he's got the arm and he's got the intelligence, so he can throw the football where he wants to. Same time, he's got to be protected, and he's got to have somebody can catch him when he throws it.
Coach, looking right now, they've opened up where undergrads, graduate transfers could always leave. Jacob Coker did that when he left Florida State and went to Alabama, and they end up winning a national title. But a lot of times undergrads, unless they had a good excuse, like the Justin Fields situation in Georgia, where the guy was yelling racial comments at his sister and he just needed a place to go, and there was a lot of different things that happened. But not too many quarterbacks could transfer because that was part of the deal. If you're an undergrad, you had to stay and sit out a year. Well, they've opened up the doors to the guys being able to transfer and not have to sit out that year one time. Do you like that rule in college football?
No, I don't. I think we forget you go to college for an education, not necessarily to play football. And then if he doesn't get to play football the way he wants to, he leaves. He forgets about his education. So I know they've got rules, and a guy can transfer, in my opinion, as long as he gets his degree, he's eligible to go somewhere else. But as far as a freshman and sophomore changing just because they want to change, I'm opposed to that.
Well, looking right now as we speak with legendary Alabama coach Gene Stallings to kick off the show here today. Coach, a lot of these guys are getting ready for the draft. You always had great advice in the locker room. You always took care of your kids and always treated them like family. When it comes down to looking at these players that get ready for the biggest payday of their life, the biggest moment of their life that can sculpt the rest of their family, their friends, everyone, what kind of advice would you give these kids getting ready for the NFL draft?
Well, they just need to be – what my advice to them is to go to a camp and make the cut. Regardless if they're a first-round draft choice or the last free agent that's taken, when they go to a camp, they've got to make the cut. They want to be one of the 40, 45, whatever the limit is. So that's my advice. I've got a grandson that hopefully he'll be drafted or go into the pros this coming season. And my advice to him is wherever you go, you play as well as you can, you volunteer for every special team, and then you hope you make the cut.
Yeah, Coach, is there anything from the time that you spent with Bear Bryant that he particularly taught you, whether it was coaching related or even life related?
Now say that again.
As far as your experience being around Bear Bryant, as far as just life lessons or even things that you learned as a player or coach, what would you say was the most impactful thing?
Well, he used to say that I want you to play as well as you're capable of playing. Be prepared, and you never know when your time is going to come that you can go out in the arena, and you've got to make something happen. So that was the advice I would give my players. You've got to make something happen. You can't wish it to happen and hope that it'll happen. You've got to make it happen. You've got to go out and do something about it. And you've got to be well prepared every time you go into the arena, because you never know when your time is going to be able to, whether you're backup or a starter, you've got to be as well prepared as you possibly can so that you can perform at a high level.
See, that's some good advice, Coach, because my coach actually gave me the advice. He said, Chad, if for some reason today you missed the bus, that's okay. So I don't know what kind of advice that was, but our team always looked up to that advice. It's one where, Coach, there's so many people today that think they're individuals. Do you feel that we're going towards a culture? And I don't want to – when I say this, I'm not saying this for everybody, but the majority. Do you feel that athletes – at the pro level, college level, you see a lot of them feeling like they can outduel the coach or get a coach fired. Do you feel that we're going down that path where we don't respect whether we agree or disagree? Because I'm sure there are some things that Coach Bryant and other coaches that you had, that you worked with Tom Landry, some of the greatest of all time. But even if you didn't agree with their philosophy, you respected them enough to be able to go ahead and do that. Do you feel the kids are getting to a point today where they feel like they're entitled to more and they don't respect their coaches enough?
I think that's a possibility. I really do. I've never experienced it, either as a player or as a coach, because I had great respect for my coaches, and I hope my players had for me. But it's becoming a more and more of an eye game. Now they want to pay the player. As an example, if a wide receiver makes a great catch and somebody's got to protect the quarterback, or he wouldn't have had time to throw that football. So I'm sort of opposed to paying the player and using his likelihood and whatever they call it to generate some income. You don't think scholarships worth something? You send somebody to college, and when your little girls get old enough and they go to college, you'll wish they had a scholarship, because no telling what it's going. So when we say that the athlete doesn't get any help, especially if he's on full scholarship, he's getting lots of help.
Coach, as a player, you had a chance to be at Texas A&M, one of the largest stadiums in college football today. Alabama, Bryant Denny as a coach, winning a national title, one of the greatest, loudest stadiums out there, and the titles speak for itself when it comes to Alabama and what they've done over the last couple decades and really throughout their history. But when it comes down to as a coach and a player, what was one stadium that you hated to go to more than anything, or one that you just really just looked up and really enjoyed the atmosphere?
Well, if you're an Alabaman, you don't enjoy going to Tennessee. Or if you're an Alabaman, you don't enjoy playing at Auburn, then you ought to be doing something else, because if you can play Alabama extremely well, or Auburn at Tennessee, and I can say the same thing for LSU. We opened up an office at A&M every year with LSU in Baton Rouge. It was not a louder stadium in the country, but the way you can quieten that crowd just a little bit is get ahead of them. And they don't holler near as loud when they're behind. So that's what I used to tell my players. If the noise bothers you, just play well and get ahead, and you'll be surprised how you can hear.
Well, Coach, it is always a pleasure to have you on. Before we let you go, how is with Ruth Ann and the whole family, how's the health going, and just everything in general?
Everything is fine in this part of the country. I'm 86, had a birthday not too terribly long ago, and I'm thankful for every day that I can be able to get up and go around and do something. And I enjoyed being on your particular show, and I enjoy the season getting started. Now, spring practice is over at some of these places, and I'll assure you that everybody's team is a little bit better than it was last year. So going into spring practice, most of the coaches and the players are excited. And that early fall practice, they're all undefeated. I'm looking forward to the early fall getting started.
Yeah, you don't seem like the streamer and balloon kind of guy to me when it comes to the birthday. Am I right on that?
You're right. You're right, man. I didn't even want anybody to pay attention to it, to tell you the truth. Because when you're 86, you don't have a whole lot left, and you want to enjoy what you have.
I my birthday was a couple months ago, and I got four more gray hairs during the time. So there you go. That's but
well, when that little girl gets a couple of years older, you're going to have more gray hair, too.
Absolutely. And the most important reason, Coach, why we talk every week, it is the springtime now, and down here at Florida, the weather just like in Texas is going real quick. As the grass starts to get green, but the weeds are still around there, what's the best route without killing the grass that we could still get rid of the weeds?
Well, that's a good question. I just bought some Roundup today to spray on some, to kill some weeds, but it also kills your grass. And there's a product called Weeds Be Gone that's not supposed to bother you, your Bermuda, but you sure don't want to run all your Bermuda just to get rid of a few weeds.
Well, I tried that Ranger Pro stuff, and you know, that's the, like one of those players on steroids when it comes down to it, and that thing killed the entire grass. So I'm glad that I probably should have called you a couple weeks ago. That's
and the pre-emergent is one of the best things you can do. You can fertilize with a pre-emergent, and then it kills the weeds when they're down below before they ever get a chance to get up.
Well, Coach, it's always a blessing to catch up with you, and I'm just so glad after your birthday and happy birthday, and at 86 you can join us and talk about family life and everything going on. And let's do this again here soon, Coach. Thank you for your time. I know everybody around here in SEC country appreciates the heck out of it, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Well, it's always a joy, and I enjoy listening to Collider, too. Have a good day, Chad. Thank you.
Thank you, Coach.